In the Kriyas HaTorah that we learned yesterday, Parshas Lech Lecha, the Torah informs us towards the very beginning that Avram Avinu, together with his wife Sarah, they were then still called Avram and Sarai, up and left from where they were living in the city of Haran, and they came to the land which would eventually be called Eretz Yisrael, and it's at the direction of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it says in the first of the sources, yesterday's learning parashas, Lech Lecha, Bereshis, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Hei, Vayikach Avram as Sarai Ishto, Veslot Ben Achiv, Avram took with him his wife Sarai and his nephew Lot, Veskoruchusham Asher Rachoshu, and all of the possessions, all of the material belongings that they had accumulated up to that point. And then the strange phrase, Veshanefesh Asher Osu V'choron, and the souls which they had made, the people that they had made while living in Haran, they went towards the land of Canaan and they eventually got there. It's an unusual phrase. What do you mean the souls, the people? You don't make people, you can make children, you can produce children. They didn't have children yet. So who are we talking about? Who are these people that they made? It's a very strange phrase. So you look at the Targum Unklus in the second source on that Pasuk, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Hei. So it says, we're only interested in the middle phrase, V'yas nafshisa, towards the end of that line, D'shabidu l'oraisa b'choron. It's a reference to the people that they had brought towards services, towards Torah. Oraisa means Torah. Again, there was no Torah per se at that point, but it means the people that they had sort of convinced to become subservient to that religion which they believed in at that time. Avram and Sarai were unique in that they believed in monotheism and one God. And apparently they influence other people, and those people accompany them from Haran, from their departing point to Eretz Yisrael. So Rashi tells us in the third source, on that same pasuk, Asher Osu B'Haran, Shehechnison Tach Kanfei Hashchina. These are the people whom they brought under the canopy, under the wings, so to speak, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then the famous phrase, Avram Megayeres HaAnoshim, V'Sora Megayeres HaNoshim. Avram would win over, would convert the men, and Sarah would convert the women. And therefore the Torah considers it as if you had made that person. That's the expression, the people that they had made. You made the people, you didn't create them, they weren't your children, but you made them to new people, so to speak. And that's what I mean, Asher Nefesh, Asher Osu Bechor. Then Rashi goes on to say, perhaps the simple pshat is as a reference to the people that they owned as servants, as slaves, you know, people that they had brought, but that doesn't exactly explain a nefesh asher also. Anyway, Chazal teaches us with this simple point that Avram and Sarah had come to whatever belief they believed in terms of being there being one God, and are responsible to serve that one God, and they did not keep their thoughts or their feelings or their beliefs to themselves. Rather, they went ahead and influenced others. Avram and Megayeres HaAnoshim, Besorah Megayeres HaNoshim, both Avram and Sarah went out and spread their beliefs to others and influenced many other people. We don't know exactly how many people there were, what eventually became of them, but in any event, we do find this notion from the early dawn of our history as a people that our responsibility is not only to believe in God, to serve Him ourselves, and not worry about anybody else, like in the Yiddish expression, Mach Shabbos Shazich, you know, I make sure that I'm doing what's right, whatever anyone else is doing, none of my business. We see not true. We see that Avram and Sarah went ahead from the very beginning and influenced others. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, the Tzadi Testament based in the fourth source, Amar Ish Lakish, Kol HaMelamed is Ben Chavero Torah, Ma'ala Levakos of Kilo Aso, Shenemar is HaNefesh Asher Aso B'Choran. The same concept, if you teach Torah to somebody else, the child of somebody else, not yours, you have to teach Torah to your own children. That's a mitzvah, Shinantam Levanecha. Right? But aside from that, you don't say, well, whatever is going on in some other person's house, none of my business, I don't get involved. Rather, Kol HaMelamed is Ben Chavero Torah, Ma'ala Levakos of Kilo Aso. In a certain sense, you will have made that child. You didn't produce him, his parents produced him, but by teaching him Torah, teaching her Torah, so you've sort of made that person, as Rashi explains, citing the Targum Unklus. So we have this notion that Avram and Sarah were not satisfied with keeping their religious beliefs and their belief in one God and so on to themselves, but on the contrary went ahead and spread the word to others. This responsibility is also hinted at in perhaps a surprising location. There is a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, in Navi, in Yirmiyahu Paragimel, pasuk Chav Beis, source 6, where it says, Shuvu vanim shovavim erpa mishavoseichem, which means, loosely translated, repent. It's a pasuk where the Navi Yirmiyahu was calling upon the Jews to repent. Do tshuva, shuvu vanim. Do tshuva, okay? And erpa mishavoseichem. And if you do, I will heal your backsliding, your faults and so on. So this comes up in a very surprising location, Maseches Yuma, Daf Pei Vav Mid Aleph, in source number 7. The Gemara there is discussing that we know there are different types of Averis, and the Gemara discusses what is necessary to attain Kapora, to attain Atonement. The Maseches Yuma is the Masech that talks about Yom Kippur. And most of the Masech that talks about the Avoda, the temple service, Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol, and so on. At the very end, the last parak, talks about the parts of Yom Kippur that we're more familiar with, about fasting and matters relating to tshuva and so on. So there the Gemara asks, Shara Masim and Chorosh, Esel, Rezim, Azariah, Baromi, Shomata, Arboa, Chaluke, Kapara. Are there four, I heard, or have you heard, that there are four different gradations, so to speak, in terms of how you get atonement? And he answers, no, there are only three and not four, and everything requires tshuva. And the second line of 7, Ava al Asay Vishav, if you violated a mitzvah's asay, whatever that means, I didn't eat matzah on Pesach, okay, or I didn't, whatever, any mitzvah's asay, I didn't do, and you do tshuva, eino zoz misham ad shemochlin lo. You get atoned for immediately. It could be in the middle of March, in the middle of November, it's got nothing to do with Yom Kippur, you don't have to wait for Yom Kippur, you get atoned for with a mitzvah's asay. The Gemara goes on, I didn't print it. What happens if it's a los asay? What if it's a more severe los asay? But anyway, then, a mitzvah's asay, how do we know this? That you get forgiven right away, it's immediate. You do tshuva, you get immediately forgiven. So the Gemara quotes this pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Shuva v'anam shuva miyad erpa. The pasuk says, you do tshuva, right away, I'll heal. Doesn't say anything about waiting for Yom Kippur and having to do a vidu and all. You do tshuva, okay, vidu may be part of tshuva, but you do a sincere tshuva right away, you get forgiven right away. Okay, very nice. That's what the Gemara says. You violate a mitzvah saseh, so you do tshuva right away based on this. You do tshuva, you get forgiven right away. So there is a commentary in source 9 on the Masechta Yuma called Tosus Yom HaKippurim. It's actually a three-part commentary on the three Masechtas that have to do with the three Tishrei holidays that we just finished. The three holidays, right? Rosh Yom Kippur and Sukkot. So the three Masechtas that deal respectively with those holidays. Masechas Rosh Hashanah about Rosh Hashanah, Masechas Yuma about Yom Kippur, Masechas Sukkah about Sukkot. Our yeshiva now is learning Masechas Sukkah this year. So this Marami Mechaviv wrote a commentary on each of these three Masechtas. So the one on Yom Kippur is called, it's usually printed together in one book, very popular in the yeshivas. So in the Sefer Tosfos Yom HaKippurim, he raised a very interesting question. I'll give you a background. You know, my wife's father was a big Talmud Chacham, and he would learn with the children, his grandchildren. So whenever the Gemara quoted a pasuk, I remember my boys would be frustrated, my girls also, sometimes, but he was absolutely right. When he would study with them, and he said, the Gemara quotes a pasuk, you have to look it up. You have to go back and get a Navi or a Chumash or whatever it is, and see the pasuk inside. And not only that, but he made you read the whole perek. Okay, and kids, you know, they're frustrated reading Gemara, they want to go further. You know, the Gemara quotes a pasuk, good. He made you go look up the pasuk and read the whole parak. Otherwise, he said you don't understand the context of the pasuk. So he's right. Maybe frustrating for kids. And this is an example of that. The Tosfos keep the Gemara quotes a pasuk. You do tshuva, you get forgiven. Yeah, but 1 second. The Gemara applies that to a mitzvah asay. You violate a mitzvah asay, like I said before. You fail to eat matzah and pesa. And you do tshuva, you get forbidden based on this pasuk. Ask the author of the Tosfos Yom Kippurim, I'll say it outside, in source 9. He says, 1 second. You look at the pasuk is talking about people who serve Avodah Zarah. That's not an assay. It's not about a matzah. That's a los assay. There are assays in Avodah Zarah too. But fundamentally, serving and worshiping Avodah Zarah is a los assay. How does the Gemara apply that pasuk? What do you mean? If you do tshuva, you get forgiven right away. If you violate an assay, that pasuk is not talking about someone who violated an assay. So how do you bring a proof from that pasuk? That's what he's wondering about. And he gives a very, very fascinating answer. He says the Navi, Yirmiyahu, was perhaps not talking to the people themselves who actually worshipped Avodah Zarah. That's the context. But rather, says the Tosfos Yom HaKippurim, he was talking to the so-called, quote-unquote, from Jews, the Jews who were not at worship of Avodah Zarah, but he was rebuking them because they didn't do anything to stop those who were worshiping Avodah Zarah. They didn't interfere, they didn't try and convince other people not to worship Avodah Zarah. In other words, he was talking to the people who were the Gedolei Yisrael. That's his line, the second line of 9. The Afshiyash, the Kor, Mayer, the Gedolei Yisrael. Right? The religious Jews. Shalom, Hayu, Mochicham, Al Dorim, Ha'ob, Nevodah Zarah. They didn't do anything about the people who were worshiping Avodah Zarah. So therefore, they Taka were violating Asay. What's the Asay? The Asay is the Pasuk that really is the kickoff of this whole subject of Kir Rechokim, is the Psukim and Parshas Kedoshim. So the Tosfos Yom Kippurim says that the Navi Yirmiyahu was saying, you know what the assay is? The assay is you have a mitzvah assay to go ahead and try and positively influence someone else not to do averis. And if you didn't do it, So that's an aveira. It's a failure to fulfill the assay. That's what that Gemara is talking about. Very fascinating analysis on his part. But in any case, let's take a look at the psukim in source number 10 in Parshas Kedoshim, famous psukim. It says in Pasuk Yud Zayin of Perek Yud Tes and Vayikra, source 10, Lo sisnas achicha b'vavecha, you should not hate your brother, your fellow Jew, in your heart. Hocheach tochiach es amisecha, lo sisal av chait. It translates, you should rebuke your friend and don't bear sin on account of him. And the next pasuk is the famous, the second half of course, very famous. It says, lo sikol, lo sitor es b'nei amecha, you don't take revenge, that's not our topic. And then of course, v'ahavta l'orecha kavocha ani Hashem. So famous psukim. So what exactly does that mean? I want to digress for a moment because I find usually you have to look up in some of the English translation of that pasuk. Again, it's in Parshas Kedoshim, Yikra Perek Yutes, Pasuk Yud Zayin. They translate hocheach tochicha samisecha as rebuking somebody. I don't like that translation. I'm not saying I have a better one, but I don't like the translation because rebuke, it sounds harsh. You rebuke somebody. You know, you give musa, it has a harsh tone to it. And again, the word is not necessarily meant to be harsh, but I think the way we understand it, you rebuke somebody and say, why'd you do that? And don't do this. And you're screaming at the person. And that's not really what the word means. And it's Arashi, interestingly enough, on next week's Sedra, this coming week, Parshas Vayera. If you remember the whole story with Avimelech, who takes Sarah to his house, and then, you know, the whole, everyone is smitten with a certain plague, and because Avram said it's my sister, you know, the story that we had in last week's Sedra plays itself with Paro, plays itself out with next week's Sedra with Avimelech. Some raise the question, why did Avram and Yitzhak does it later? The ruse wasn't working, right? So this whole thing, telling my sister, didn't work. It didn't work with Paro, it didn't work with Avimelech, and Yitzhak tries it again. Why'd they keep doing it if it didn't work? So some say, no, it usually did work. These were just the times that it didn't work. There used to be a Rosh Hashiva here in YU, Rabbi Rucham Gurelak, Rosh Hashiva here when I was a student. I wasn't a Hashiva, but he was very known to be very, very sharp. So the story is, it could be an apocryphal story, I don't know. But the story is one time a boy in the yeshiva was out with his girlfriend on a date or whatever, and he's sitting on the subway here in New York, and onto the subway while he's sitting there walks a Gorelick, and the boy couldn't dig a hole deep enough. The last thing he needs is his Rebbe seeing him, you know, with a girl on a date and so on. So the boy thought very fast on his feet, so he said, oh Rebbe, I'm glad to say I'd like to introduce you to my sister. So right away Gorelick said, you know, Avraham Avinu said the same thing. Anyway, but in that whole story with Avimelech, so at the end, Avimelech says he gives them property and money and so on and so forth. And it says in Perek Chof, next week's Sedra, Vayera, Pasuk Tezayin, Usara Omar, Hineno Sati Elef Kesef, I gave $1,000, whatever it was. And you find the very last word in Source 11 is the word Vinochochas. This will clear everything up, and it should be Vinochochas. So Rashi, Rashi people should know but don't, because one of these we called, when I was growing up, a Diktuk Rashi. You know, those are Rashi's you skipped, where Rashi gives you grammatical rules, right? Diktuk Rashi. This is a Diktuk Rashi. So it says, Vinochochas, okay, Yelecha Pishon Pelis Vakechel Haris Dwarm Nikarma Halof, we'll be able to discuss and show people what happened, it was a misunderstanding and so on. Alright, I don't care so much about that as I do about the last phrase. Veloshon Tochochas Bechol Mokom Birur Dvarim. That root, that word Tochocha, Bechol Mokom, says Rashi, means Birur Dvarim. Clarifying fact. So I think if we put that Rashi together with the tzivui, the commandment of hocheach tochiach as anisecha, again, usually translated as rebuke, it's not a matter of rebuke, it's a matter of showing somebody what's right. Birur dvarim, clarifying the fact. So the basic idea, it seems to me, of the mitzvah that you're supposed to quote unquote rebuke someone else, it's not a matter of rebuke in the harsh sense. You have to show them what's right, you have to tell them this is the way to do things, this is what's right, this is what's wrong. Birur dvarim, clarifying facts. That, to me, is the mitzvah, and the source of the whole concept of Kiruv Rechokim, to me, is showing somebody else what's right. And that can be done through teaching, that can be done through friendship, that you can be inviting people over, there are many, many ways to do it. But the idea is Birur Dvarim. Now, the Pasuk said an interesting phrase. It said, if you look back at the original Pasuk, right, it said, Hocheach Tochiach Es Amisecha, if our translation is correct, show other people what's right, Velo Sisa Olav Chet. Don't sin on their account. What does that mean? So Rashi says in source 13, Rashi says, Lo salvin es pana barabin. Don't embarrass the person. It could be sometimes that's when you rebuke somebody, you tell them in public, you know, what were you doing? This is wrong. That the person's taken aback, right? He's publicly embarrassed. So even if your intention may be to show what's right, you have to do it with seichel. You don't embarrass a person. You know, the someone I know is a big rabbi, a big Talmud Chacham, a cousin of mine, said to me once, he was at a bar mitzvah, and so they had a kiddush after the davening, and the kiddush had a big cake that said Mazel Tov Chaim, whatever it said, all right? So the mother and the father are very excited about the bar mitzvah, so they start cutting the cake, and they're cutting through the letters, right? So somebody yells, you know, I cut the letters on Shabbos, you can't cut through the letters. Okay, so the truth of the matter is, cutting letters on Shabbos, according to some shitas, is a violation of a drabbanon on Shabbos. Embarrassing somebody in public is a violation of a deraisa. So what did this person do? He embarrassed the couple, the host, the Bali Simcha, in public, for the sake of it, you have to use your head. That's what Rashi says it means. Lo salban, as you don't embarrass the person. You want to correct him and show them what's right, but you have to do it with a certain amount of seichel. The Gemara says in Erchin, Minayin, and Tezayin and Beis, in Source 14, Minayin l'roba chaver dover maguna shechayv lehochicho. How do we know, Taka, that if you see somebody doing something wrong, you're supposed to correct him? Shenema, this pasuk, ochech hochich. Hochicho velo kibel minayin sheyach shebeochichenu. What if it didn't, the person didn't listen? Person didn't listen. Well, try again if at first you don't succeed, right? Because Talmud Lomar, Tochich, the double language, Hocheach, Tochich, try again. But, Yochol Afilu Bishtan and Ponav, whether it's a person's embarrassed and so on, then no, then stop. Talmud Lomar will see Solov Chet. You can't embarrass the person in public. The Rashi explains, you don't embarrass the person, yeah? But the Targum Unkelus takes it in a different direction. So does the Ramban in 16 and 17. On that same Pasuk in Kedoshim, Perek Yotes, Pasuk Yitzayin. The Targum Unkelus says, don't hate somebody, rather you should rebuke him again, show him what's right. Velo sakril al delay chova. Don't you pick up a sin, in fact, on account of not doing what you're supposed to do. That's how the Ramban understands it possibly also. He says, meaning, that if you have the opportunity to show somebody what's right, and you fail to do so, then in a certain sense, you have a share in that person's avera, because you could have stopped him, you or her, whatever. You could have stopped the person doing it. And that's exactly a fascinating Gemara in Maseches Shabbos. Ramban doesn't quote the Gemara, but that's what he's getting at. He says, you look at the second line of 17, right? What it means is, Shiyah alecha asham kasher yechte velo chachto. So you share in the guilt if you could have convinced that person to correct his or her ways and you failed to do so. The fascinating Gemara in Shabbos, the Mishnah says there in Shabbos, Daf Nun Dal Beis, Source 8, the basic topic there is that we know, of course, you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos without an Erev, we know that did. But not only you're not allowed to carry, but you can't have your animal carry or wear things, certain things also. Not that the animal has to keep Shabbos, but that's part of your observance of Shabbos as well. So the Mishnayos and the Gemara discuss, there are certain things, and the animal has, let's say it's a horse, it has a saddle, or it's a cow, and it's got cowbells or other things like that. Can you have your animal going out on Shabbos wearing these different types of things? So we don't need to know the details right now, but one of the things the Gemara, the Mishnah says in Shabbos in Dal Reis 18, the lober tzua shebein karnel. You can't have your animal, a cow, wear a certain type of strap in between its horns. That was popular then, or whatever it was. Okay, as Rashi explained in 19, why demasuha? It's like a burden. It's like carrying something. Okay, again, the details in terms of Hilchos Shabbos are not germane to our discussion today. But the end of the Mishnah 18 says, paroso shel Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Okay, the cow that belonged to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, harse yotze beritzua shebein karnel shelo beritzon chachamim. He let the animal go out wearing this type of strap around his horn against the will of the Chachamim, against the Ratzon of the other Chachamim. That's what the Mishnah says. So the Gemara asks later on the same page in Source 20, Nun Dalar Beis, what do you mean, first of all, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was a fabulously wealthy man. We know that from other sources. So what do you mean the cow? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah had many cows. So what do you mean the cow that belonged to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah? And second of all, the Gemara doesn't spell out, why would Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the Chachamim, say, you can't do this on Shabbos? Why would he, one of the great rabbis, why would he do it? What's going on? So the Gemara says, in the second line of 20, in the middle, Tana lo shelo haisa. It wasn't his cow. It wasn't his cow. Ela shel shcheinaso haisa. It was his neighbor's cow. But umito shelo micha ba nikres al shmo. But since he never went and told the neighbor that this is against the halacha on Shabbos, it's called in the Mishnah forevermore the cow of Elazar ben Azariah. Imagine that. And it was he, Chas v'Shalom, he wouldn't have let the cow do it, but the neighbor did, and he never said anything to the neighbor about it. Evidently, the Gemara holds him responsible. The Mishnah calls this that Elazar ben Azariah allowed his cow to carry something on Shabbos against the halacha, even though he didn't. But you see from there that if you were in the opportunity, obviously the Chazal felt that he could have convinced the person not to do it. If he would have said something, he failed to do so. So he's blamed, so to speak, for that avera. It's quite a point. And the Gemara goes on to say at the end of 20, it's not only true about one cow and one neighbor, but kol misha efshar, at the end of 20, limchos la'anshe beiso velo micha, nitvas la'anshe beiso. If you had the opportunity to correct something, misdeeds of people of your household, so then you're blamed for it. You share in the blame. Ma'anshe iro, the people in your town, nitvas la'anshe iro. B'chol olam kulo, nitvas kol olam kulo. Now, obviously, it depends on who you are. You know, an average person can't influence that many people, but a person can influence a lot of people, and therefore you're held in a certain sense responsible. So if that's the case, we see that Chazal are very serious about making sure that people have the opportunity to show others the right way, that they have to do so. It wasn't just, sometimes we could think, okay, it was Avraham Avinu and Sarah, they were pious people, great people, that doesn't have to do with me down today. But no, you see from these sources later on in the Gemara and so on and so forth that everybody is responsible for this. That's why I entitled the shiur Kir Rechoku, whose responsibility? Ours. It's all of our responsibility. Anybody that we can positively influence, we have to make the effort. Now, the Gemara does ask, there's a story in Shmuel in source 22. It's actually read as a Haftorah whenever Rosh Chodesh is on a Sunday. So we have a special Haftorah called the Haftorah of Mochar Chodesh. The whole story with Yonasan and David, the friendship between Yonasan and David. You remember the story with the arrows, you know, how that's it. Anyway, in that story, so Shaul and Shaul HaMelech, who's very, very worried that David is trying to take over his throne, and Yonasan is siding with David, and Shaul got paranoid. No, tragic story, really. But Pesukim that I printed, so Shaul got angry at Yonasan, and he starts screaming at him, and he said, I know that you're favoring David to take over the throne instead of yourself, and it's embarrassing to the family, and therefore bring him over here, I want to execute him. And Yonasan said, what do you mean, what did he do? And his father grabbed the sword. The whole discussion back and forth that's recorded there in 22. So the Gemara says on that same sugya in Erechin Tez Zanar Beis, says Ad Heichan Tochocha, how far do you have to go to try and give somebody Musar, to try and show how far do you have to go? So we said before, you can't embarrass them in public. Okay, but let's say it's in private. How far do you have to go with the person? Right? I mean, at one point the person says, no, or leave me alone. You have to leave him alone. So we said already, you should try more than once. So the Gemara asks, how far? And so based on this story, Ad Heichan Tochocha, Rav Omar, Ad Hakoh. You got to keep trying until the person's ready to smack you. Right? You got to keep, the person wants to hit you. Shmuel Omar Ad Klol, a person ready to curse you. Nazifa, a different type of a cursing and so on. And they all learned it out from that pasuk of Shaul screaming. And Yonasan was trying to talk reason to his father, right, about David, and give it, tell him, he can't kill him, he didn't do anything wrong, and so on. And Shaul screams at him, and he takes out the sword. So the Gemara has, the point is, that's quite a ways to go. In other words, you don't have to give up your life for this mitzvah. You don't have to have the person curse you out. But you keep trying until at least up until that point. That's what emerges from that Gemara. And as Rashi says in 24, Ad Heichan Odom Chayav Lochich Es Chaveru. Okay, you have to try and convince the person, you know, to this extent. The Rambam counts this as a mitzvah from the Torah. 25, Sefer HaMitzvahs in the Rambam, mitzvahs that say Reish Hei, HaMitzvah Reish Hei, Shetzivon Lochich HaChotei, either the person is sinning, O Misha Yir Tzelachto, V'lim Noah Oso Meno B'mama V'tochocho. Okay? And the Ein Roy Lana Shoma Echad Men Ani Loch Echte Avim Yechte Zulosi Mali. The Rambam spells it out as only he can, a clear, beautiful language. And you can't say, "Listen, I'm not sinning. What's in my business what someone else is doing? Let him or her do whatever they want." Right? No, you can't do it. Right? Dina Melkav. He'll straighten out with God. That's his business. No, sir. Ze Hefech Hatorah. You can't leave anybody alone who tries to do averus and so on, and you simply take a step back and say, it's none of my business. You're not allowed to do that. And the Rambam writes, again, he quotes the Pasuk, and he says, in every generation, there are always people who do things wrong, so we should try, even if it takes four or five times. You don't give up so quickly. Again, you can't embarrass the person in public and so on. The Sefer HaChinuch as well in 26, Mitzvah Reish Lametes, there in Parshas Kedoshim writes, Lo Chiach Echad Yisrael, right? We have to try and show other people what's right. They're quoting the same pasuk, exactly as we said. And he writes, Afilu, even if it takes 100 times, you don't give up so quickly. You keep working at it. Again, if the person is, depends on the person's reaction. Like we said, a person's ready to smack you, okay. But sometimes the person, well, no, not today, I'm talking tomorrow. You know, you keep working at it. That's the point. And don't be embarrassed about it. But of course, as we said, don't embarrass him or her in public either. Notice that it says at the very end of 26, "Benoheges mitzvah zu b'chol mokom." This is not a mitzvah only in Eretz Yisrael. There's a mitzvah everywhere. U'b'chol zman, it's got nothing to do with there being. Is it based on mikdash or isn't it based on mikdash? This mitzvah applies in all places, at all times. B'scharim unikevos. Male, female, it's got nothing to do with not zman grama. This is a mitzvah that applies to everybody at all times. And he says, over aleh below chiyach b'inyan shomarnu b'tel asay. If you fail to do it, you yourself were mevatel, you ignored this mitzvah asay. He says even worse, you're among the wicked people who take this attitude that whatever someone else does is not my business as long as I'm doing what's right. So you see pretty strongly the Rambam, the Sefer Mitzvahs, Mitzvahs HaSei Reish Hei, the Sefer HaChinuch, which Reish HaMetez, count this as mitzvah, as one of the Tayag mitzvahs of the Torah. The Rambam in Hilchos Deis 27 writes, Paragvav Alocha Zayin, Haroa Chaver Oshachoto, Oshachalach B'derech Lo Tova. You see somebody, a friend of yours, that's not behaving properly or following an improper path. Mitzvah lachziru lemutov. It's a mitzvah to bring him back to the right path. Ulhodia shu chotel atzmo. He's harming himself and by doing all these averas. And he also says, doesn't make a difference whether it's a bein al lachavera, bein al makom. You have to try and speak to him. But he writes on the third line, seichel v'yedaber lo benachas. Talk to the person kindly, v'loshon raka, a soft tone, not rebuke. That's why I don't like the translation rebuke. Right, the Rambam says, talk to the person nicely, talk to the person respectfully. V'yodiyu she'ena omer lo ela tovaso, and make it clear, I'm talking to you about this for your good. Right, I'm doing this for your benefit. Let's talk, it's for your benefit. L'aviyu l'chayu l'amabah, and so on. Now, in kibum menomut, if the person accepts it, good. If not, so try a second time, a third time, okay, and again, he writes, somebody who has the opportunity to do it and doesn't do it, so he violates this, I say, okay? And again, he says in Halachaches, HaMochich Eschere Tchila Lo Yedaber Lo Koshos, don't speak harshly to the person until it becomes later. Okay, then there comes a point where you can, you know, leave the person alone and assume there's a rush. We'll get to that later. But in any event, you see from the Rambam, from the Shulchan, from the Chinuch, that this is a mitzvah to correct others. Now, we throw around the term, both nowadays and in halacha, you find someone called a Rasha. Ah, that person's a Rasha. Right? Rasha Marusha. Right? He's a Rasha Marusha. Okay, he's, sometimes people even say, oh, he's like a goy. But there's even an expression, a goy gomor, a complete goy. People say, what's the difference between a goy and a goy gomor? You know, a goy gomor is usually Jewish. Right? A goy is not Jewish. A goy gomor is always Jewish. Right? And you say, so at what point now, we do find an idea that there are people who we are permitted, or are we ever permitted to say, listen, this person is Takei Rasha, I want to have anything to do with that person? Or at what point do we say that we can label this person a Rasha, I better have nothing to do with it? So there is a pasuk in Tehillim, actually. You look in 28. Halo misanecha Hashem esna. Those who hate you, Hashem, I'm going to hate also. Okay? And another pasuk, that's Tilim Parakuf Lamites, pasuk Chaf Aleph, and a pasuk in Mishlei, Parakhes, pasuk in Gimel, Yiris Hashem, Sinos Ra, right? Someone fears God, hates the evil person. Now, what do you mean? I thought the pasuk said, Lo Sisna Zachicha, blah, blah, blah. Now that I hate another person, try and correct him. So, how do we have psukim that speak about hating somebody? Right, that pasuk in Tilla and the pasuk in Mishlei speak about hating somebody. When we read at the beginning of the shir, a pasuk in Kedoshim, it says, "Lo sisna, don't hate the person, but rather what? Show him what's right." So how do we reconcile the psukim and say, "Halo misanecha Hashem esna"? Right, I don't hate you, Hashem, I'll hate. What do you mean? Don't hate him. Try and so we know, of course, the pasuk we have to reicha kamocha. So on that pasuk also, we have to reicha kamocha. The Rashba makes a fascinating comment. What do you mean reicha? Usually that's translated, love thy neighbor as yourself, regardless of who thy neighbor is. Right? Akiva's famous principle, Yerushalmi and Dharma, the famous principle, Zek, Klal, Gadol, Batara, we all know, V'ahav t'loyecha kamocha. So look what the Rashbam says in 30, staggering comment. V'ahav t'loyecha kamocha, that's im reyacha. Reyacha's a friend. He's your friend, meaning, im tovu. Aval im hu rasha? But if that person is a rasha, He quotes the pasuk of Mishlei, "Yiras Hashem snows raw." Then you're allowed not to love him. You're allowed to hate him. Right? We all know about Behavta Kamocha. We hear it. We teach our kids. There are all kinds of songs. Behavta Kamocha. Now some of the Rashbam is telling us, "Yeah, that's true if it's Reacha, but if it's a Rasha, then the mitzvah doesn't apply." How do we? Where do we draw the line exactly? Now the Rambam writes in Hilchos Deos Parak Vav Halacha Gimel, "Mitzvah kol Adam le'evas kol echad mecham Yisrael kegufo." There's a mitzvah 31 to love every Jew. That's how we usually learn it, right? To love every other Jew. Shenemar ve'havtarecha kamocha. Lefichach tzok l'saper v'shivcha olocha samamona. You have to be concerned with praising somebody else and make sure he doesn't lose his money and so on, just like you care for yourself. So how do we do that? How do we reconcile that? So the Gaon Maimon is on that Rambam 32. He says like the Rambam, v'davka shehu reacha b'torah mitzvahs. That's only reacha. A person on the same wavelength as you in terms of Torah and mitzvahs. Otherwise, Adam Rasha, but a Rasha not. But he adds a few words, very important. What's Adam Rasha? Look at 32. Adam Rasha, she'eino mekabel tochocho. The person refuses to accept your attempts to correct his or her ways. Then you can give up and consider the person a Rasha. In other words, before you label someone else a Rasha, you better first try to win that person over. When can we say someone's a Rasha? When can we say V'hantarecha kamocha doesn't apply? Only after I've tried. I tried and the person continues and persists in this derech. Okay, so at some point I have to cut off ties with that person. But my point being, it's only after you've tried. When can you label someone a Rasha? Says that Gaon Maimon. She'eino mekabel tochocho. Oh. And with that we can understand something else also. Strange pasuk. In Parshas Mishpatim, Parakov Gimel, Pasuk Hey, in Shmos. Kisireh chamor sonachor. You see the donkey belonging to someone you hate collapsing under its weight. There's a mitzvah called Priko, Tina. If you see an animal collapsing under its weight and it falls down and so on, so you have to help pick up, you know, the packages, the peklach, and so on and so forth. And the Torah says, even chamor sonachor. You hate the guy who owns you. You're a tenancy. I'm so glad that happened to you. Have a good day. You know, this guy slept with his animal. No, you have to even. Well, what do you mean, chamor sona acha? The Gemara asks, psachim kuf yud gimel amid beis. What do you mean, the donkey of your enemy? Someone you hate. I thought, no, I hate another Jew. Why does the Torah use such a phrase, chamor sona acha? So the Gemara says, amar shmuel bar yitzchak amar rab mito, mutter l'sonoso. It's someone who's mutter to hate. Okay? Well, who are we talking about? So, I thought it says you're not allowed to hate another Jew. So, basically what the Gemara says, without spelling it out, is that you know the person did something bad. Okay, and as we see, if you move down to 36, the Rashbam explains the Gemara, mutal is no, so right, you saw the person did some terrible things, and the Rambam writes, in Hilchos Rotzeach, Perikid Gimel Loch Yadalid, Hasone Shenema V'Torah Mishwel, Lomos Olam, it's not talking about a Goy, it's talking about a Jew, and I, how could you hate the person? The Rambam spells it out in 36. The hisra means you warned the person. You tried to correct the person. Didn't change his ways. Then it's a person you can consider to be a Rasha. So the truth of the matter is, and even there you have to help the animal, you know, get up. And the same thing in the Shulchan Aruch in Choshen Mishpat Simon, Reish Ayin Be'ei Sif Yudalev. Meaning you tried. You can't take the attitude and say, well, that person's a Rasha and there's a different way of life. No, you have to, at a certain point, you've tried and the person doesn't listen, then at a certain point you can cut off. But to cut off right away because the person doesn't do things the way I do, or the person's doing things that are there, you see from all these sources, that's not correct. Under no circumstances would that be permissible. Nowadays, and already since the days of the Rishonim, there's another thing to throw into the mix. And that's what the Rambam says in source number 38. Parak Gimel of Hilchos Mamrim Halacha Gimel. The Rambam throws in that, you know, sometimes you have people who are Rishonim, who are indeed refuse to accept any care because they've come to a certain philosophical belief and they deny God and they've thought about it. And so in the classic case of an apikores, and you try to win the person over and he still or she still remains set in those evil ways, so then at a certain point you consider the person a Rasha. But look at the Rambam writes in 38, it's certainly true today in the year 2017. Ava b'nei ha-toim ha-eila. The Rambam lived in a time that was a sect of Jews called the Karaites, the Karoim, who didn't believe in Torah Shebaal Peh, had other corrupt beliefs and so on. And so the children grew up, they didn't know any better. Those people, Hareu Ketinok Shenishba Beneihem. That's the famous Tinok Shenishba. Tinok Shenishba means a child who's kidnapped as a baby. And he grows up, never heard of Torah, never heard of Shabbos. So what, you can rebuke that person, you can find fault with that? Never knew. He was never educated, never was trained. Now that's called the Tinok Shenishba. They used to have, I know somebody actually whose father was, they used to have in Russia, some people may be aware, there's something called the Gechapta Kinder. Gechapta Kinder, these were, you know, the Russian policy was that they would take X number of children at the age of 5 away from their home, and they would send them off to military school, I guess, in St. Petersburg, wherever, okay, and they would be, for 20 years or whatever, they would be learning military techniques and so on, and they would be the generals or the leading military, because they grew up with that the training, and they would be, when you had a war, and you drafted everybody into the war, they would be the military leaders. So the Jews were not exempt from this decree, and sometimes Jewish kids were taken, non-Jewish kids too, but sometimes Jewish kids were taken away from their home at the age of 4 or 5 or whatever it may be. So they grew up in this environment for 20 years, 25 years, whatever it was. So how could you fault the person for not knowing about Shabbos and Kashrus and Yontem? They grew up without the education. So the Rambam is telling us that here, okay, people who don't observe mitzvahs because they were never trained, that's a different story. And he writes at the end, he said, all the things we say about a Rasha, that's about somebody who is Taka Rasha, refused to accept Tochacha and everything else, but someone who's never trained, you have to work with them from the beginning when you can. Lefichach, Roy Lach, Zirin B'tshuva, look at the end of the words there. Lemashkom B'divrei Shalom, Achiyachzu Leisan HaTorah. You have to try and win these people over when they come out, when they come back. They've never been educated. So that is certainly true today, I believe. In the year 2017, we have right here in the United States of America so many Jews. They're not violating Shabbos because they thought about it and don't care. They never heard about it. They never knew anything about it. They were never trained. So that's certainly, the Rambam makes it clear, an obligation on our part to try and show people the right way, to show, bring them in, encourage them to come to classes, show them literature, link them up with websites, whatever it may be, they can at least learn about it. That's how you have to try. That's really the bigger issue today. The bigger issue today, I think, is not people who are knowledgeable. We have that also, the so-called off-the-derech phenomenon. But at least in the United States at the moment, you have so many people who were never exposed. And suddenly they get exposed to observing Judaism and they find something beautiful about it. I mean, you all heard, I think they had it this past week. The Shabbos Project. You know, you heard about that? The Shabbos Project, where people invited people, you know, to observe Shabbos, huh? Yeah, it was this past, well, they had, at least they had in New Jersey this past, the big challah bake, you know, the women should come and then bake challahs and so on. So sometimes people come who are not affiliated, but they something catches their interest, and you never know, you can win over people just by being friendly, just by, you know, I think that somebody once said, you know, for the price of an extra piece of chicken, you can change somebody's life for the price of another chicken, right? You invite them over for Shabbos, and you never know how you can positively influence. These are people who've never been exposed to it, and you know, even if they keep, you know, at the beginning a single Shabbos, you never know what long term impact that might possibly have. But as I said before, you have to do it in a way that shows a relationship with the other person, and not as rebuking. The interesting passage in Parshas Vayetze, the Torah tells us after Yaakov, you know, had to run away. Remember, Esau wanted to kill him. So he runs away, he has a dream with the ladder. Anyway, he comes to the city of Haran, he's looking for the family of Laban, eventually he's going to marry the daughters, right? So it says there, look at 39, very interesting. By Bereishis, Perkov Tes, Pasuk Dalet. He saw some men gathering by the well, and he knew he was near the city of Haran, which was his destination. So it says, Vayomelam Yaakov, Perkov Tes Pasuk Dalet Abrashim, Vayomelam Yaakov, Achai Me'ayin Atem. My brothers, where are you from? Vayomelam Me'choron Achu, we're from Choron. And, so he says in Pasuk, hey, Vayomelam Ha'idaitem Es Lavan Ben Nachor, do you know a gentleman by the name of Lavan? Vayomelam Yadav, yeah, we do know him. And Pasuk Vav, Vayomelam Ha'shalom Lo, Vayomelam Shalom, is okay with him? Yeah, everything's okay. Vinei Rachel Bito, boy, Matzon. And guess what? That's his daughter Rachel coming, and we all know what would stem from that, right? Rachel's coming with her flocks. Then in Pasuk Zion, very strange. Vayomer hein od hayom gadol lo eis hayasef hamikneh hashku atzon l'churu. What? The day is not. The day is young yet. It's only the middle of the afternoon. Why are you already gathering here now by the well to give the water to the flocks as if the day is over? Go out and let them graze in the pasture. You still have a responsibility, you know, to be out in the pasture. What are you getting now? The day's not over yet. Work day's not over yet. So they explained they had to get because the rock that was on top of the well was very heavy, so it needs many men to do it, whatever. But I have a simple question, not my question. Yaakov Kamenetz, I'm going to ask the question in this parish in the Chumash. What in the world is Yaakov doing here? He meets these guys, and he starts giving them, he says, listen, what are you doing now? The day's work day's not over. You're paid for a day's work. So what are you doing now, bringing the animals in now for? Try walking once past a construction site. Here in New York, maybe it's 4:45, and there are guys already packing up this stuff, and you walk them, excuse me, but it's not yet 5 o'clock. Why are you packing your bags up already, right? Try that once, or see if you remain with any teeth. Right? I mean, who are you mixing in? What is he taking? He's giving the musa. He's a stranger, just shows up, and he starts giving the musa. You know, you're not really supposed to be bringing the flocks in now because there's still many hours left in the day. Well, who are you? So Yaakov Kamenetsky said, no, you look at the first pasuk. Achai me'ayinatem. He identified them as brothers. He already established. He said, you know when you can give tochacha to somebody? You treat him like a brother. He didn't walk up to him as a stranger. He said at the opening pasuk, in pasuk Dalet, he says, achai, my brothers. Right? He talked to them on their terms. He showed, identified as one of them. Oh, then you can give somebody musa. Then you can tell somebody, you have to be careful, you have to be sensible. Treat the other person like an equal. Okay, respect the other person. I just had a conversation with someone in my shul, you know, they have an issue with one of their children, whatever the mice, it's not important. But I say, what you must definitely do is show the child you respect the position that he has. Okay, child, young man, 18 or 19 years old. Show the child you respect the position that he has, and then you'll have more of an opportunity to connect, and you'll have a better chance of winning him back to what you want to win him over to. You talk to the person with disdain, you talk to the person as a superior, most of the time it's not going to go. Nobody likes to be told what to do at any age. Not us as adults, not the children. No one likes to be told what to do. If you just establish a relationship first, then you have a much greater chance of success. Just want to point out that the mitzvah of Kiruv Rechokim touches upon more than Hocheach Tochiach. It's a pasuk that we know in Parshas Kedoshim, in Perek Yutes Pasuk Tazayin, the previous psukim. It's previous to the psukim we mentioned. It says, Velo Selech Rochel Ba'amecha. That means you're not supposed to tell Lashon Hara, that's a different din. Lo Samar Odam Reach Ani Hashem. Don't stand by the blood of some of your friend Ani Hashem. Okay? One pasuk. Meaning, basically, if you see somebody in a life and death danger situation, you can't say, none of my business. What do you mean? You got to try and save them, if you can. Okay, but let's say you're a good swimmer and see somebody drowning, so you have to try and save him. If you can't swim yourself, so you can't jump in and try and save him. But if you can, or you call a doctor, that's what you have to do. Another pasuk, Parshas Ki Tzeitzei. Dvarim, Parakov Beis, Shukim Aleph and Beis, the mitzvah Shavas Aveda. If somebody lost something and you find it, you have to return it. You go out of the shir and you find somebody's wallet or a purse, and you find his identification, you can't just say, I'm leaving it here, none of my business. You have to return it, right? The mitzvah Shavas Aveda. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin, in Gimel Amad Aleph, verse 42 and Rashi 43, links these two mitzvahs together. Okay, there's two things. If you see somebody drowning in the river, or an animal is attacking him, or muggers are starting up with him, or whatever, you have to get yourself involved if you can help. The Gemara says, is that where it's learned from? I thought it's learned from Hashavas Aveda, Aveda's Gufo. And as we have a rule, you have to return his wallet. Well, if you have to return his wallet, right, you have to return his life. I mean, you know, if I have to return someone else's lost item, lost money, so certainly if I can help him in terms of saving his life, I have to help him too. The Gemara explains why you need both psukim. The Minchas Chinuch writes in 44, on that mitzvah, Reish Lamedtes, letters Vav and Zayin, of 44, it says something unbelievable. He says, "Nearly the chiyuvat tochacha chutz me'asei zu, aside from the mitzvah chayach tochiyach, which we've been talking about the whole shiur, there's also lo samal dam reyacha, okay, and the mitzvah shavas aveda. Because here, it's true the person's not being attacked by a wild animal, the person not drowning, it's not his physical life that's at stake, but it's his neshama that's at stake. If we have a mitzvah, says the Minchas Chinuch, to save somebody's physical life, which we do, and to return his physical property, which we do, so certainly if he's spiritually in danger, okay, the person is drowning spiritually, right, his neshama is in danger, we have that opportunity to have that mitzvah as well. So he says, besides Hocheach Tochiach, okay, there's also a mitzvah to return somebody's life to him, just like saving him if he's drowning, and you're a lifeguard, you have to go in and save him. So same thing, if the person is drowning spiritually, so you have to go in and save him, if you can, right, if you're qualified. And you have to return his wallet, you have to return his soul to him as well. That's what the Minchas Chinuch says, it expands it. I'll expand it even further, this will move to conclude soon. The Pasuk says in Parshas Vaschanan, Kriya Shema, Perek Vav, Pasuk Hei of Dvarim, V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nashcha b'modecha. Right, we all know that pasuk. You have to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the mitzvah of loving. How do you love HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What do you do? What do I do exactly? What kind of mitzvah is it? I love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Give him a hug? What does it mean? Give him a kiss? How do you love HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the Gemara says in Yuma, Pei Vav Mer Aleph, the same page we had before. K'netanya be'ahav Hashem Elokecha, she'yehei shem shamayim mis'ahev al yadcha. You have to behave in a way that will cause others to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And like that, that's a manifestation of Avas Hashem. And I think the Rambam, therefore, in Mitzvah Saseh Gimel, in the Sefer HaMitzvah, talking about Avas Hashem, he says included in under Avas Hashem is trying to get other people to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? If I love somebody and I respect, I want others to love that. I want other people to see the greatness of that person also. Right? We're all proud. We love our children, so we love our spouse, we love our sister, brother, whatever, parents. So I want other people to see how great they are. So if I love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want other people to see how great HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also. That's what the Rambam says in Mitzvah Seh Gimel. So in addition to Hocheach Tochiach, Lo Samar Al Dam Reecha, Hashav HaSaveda, there's also the mitzvah of loving Hashem. You talk about the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're really proud. Okay, so Baruch Hashem, I have my grandchildren. I mean, like everybody else, my grandchildren are the most wonderful ever, right? So of course, you want to talk about your grandchildren. You want to talk about this person you admire. It could be a friend. It could be, wow, I heard this person speak. I heard this teacher. I met this person. You want other people to be as wowed as you are. So if you really love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you want other people to love him also. That's the mitzvah. And that's what we're coming full circle now, the last few sources. That's what Avraham Avinu did. It's interesting in Parshas Chayisar in source 48, Parakav Dalet Pasuk Zayin, Avram referred to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Hashem Elokei HaShamayim, right, the God of Heaven. Talking there about when he was getting Eliezer to go find the spouse for Yitzchak, whatever the details are, but the Pasuk says Hashem Elokei HaShamayim, Asher Lekachani Beisav, you took me out of my home. So Rashi comments, why did it say Hashem Elokei HaShamayim? It should say Elokei HaShamayim, Okay, arts, right? The God of heaven and earth, right? Why did it say just heaven? So Rashi, because at that time, well, I've always told, when God took me away from my home, it was only Elokei HaShamayim. Nobody on earth ever heard of him at that point, ever heard of God at that point. But once I got busy, now, so to speak, as it were, Avraham said, I made him Elokei HaShamayim and Elokei HaAretz. But he started out only Elokei HaShamayim, so to speak, because no one on earth recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avraham is when I've gotten people to recognize Elokei HaAretz also. And it's interesting is, halacha lemaisis, I always like to include one halacha, Rav Moshe Feinstein has a Igros Moshe Arachaim Chelekalav Simen Tzadi Tes. He says, somebody wanted, and I want to go into this whole problem now, but somebody wanted to start what I guess we call a breakaway shul. Okay? They wanted it because some of the people in the shul weren't so observant, and weren't so he says, you should not do it. As long as the shul is following the halacha in terms of the basic halacha of davening, but there are people in the shul who are not so observant and so on, Rav Moshe said, no, you stay in that shul because you can correct them, you can win them over. Again, as long as the shul does in terms of davening what's halachically correct. But he said, otherwise you never know, and his language is, on the second line of 50, Ki me'at min ha'or docha harbe min ha'choshech. A little bit of light chases away a lot of darkness. Stay in that shul, don't start another shul. Now again, as we said before, and this will finish, the Pasuk says in Mishlei, an important Pasuk, Perek Tes, Pasuk Ches, Al tochech letz pen yisna'echa. A person's a letz, a clown, a non-serious person, not to give him tochech, it's only lead to trouble. But hochech lechochom, yehavecha. you have a person who's wise, you show him what's right, he'll love you in the end. May not love you right away. That's how the Sefer Chassidim writes in Mitzvah Tov Yud Gimel. Sometimes you have to know that the person is not going to listen, and therefore it's better sometimes not to say anything. There's a whole halakha category that sometimes better don't say anything, because this way the people don't even realize what they're doing is wrong, because they're not going to listen to you anyway. So I just put that in because it's an important to bear in mind. I'll just finish. The Gemara has a fascinating story in Erev and Nun Dalar Beis, because somebody could ask, but don't I have to work on my own spirituality also? How can I spend time involved with Kiruv? I have to learn myself. I can't leave the base medrash. You know, I've got to be busy with my own needs. And there's a question of how much time a person should spend. Okay, it's true. It's a good question. But the Gemara tells a story in Erevin Nundalman Beis about a certain rabbi by the name of Rabbi Preda. And it says, I'll say it outside because it's late, Rabbi Preda had a Talmud who was not necessarily, I guess, the swiftest or the quickest grasping mind we ever heard of. And it says that Preda had to teach him this Gemara this passage 400 times until he finally got it. And the Gemara tells a story that one time Preda didn't come to the Beis Medrash because he had got called for another important activity, a mitzvah. So the student learned it 400 times, and Preda came to, he got it wrong. Told another 400 times, and it got greatly rewarded for it. Now, I suspect that Preda could have accomplished more in terms of his own learning, whatever that time it took to say it over and over again to this Talmud. But he felt it was important, and he got a great reward for it. Sometimes it takes time. You're right. Now, that's an important question. Some suggest, just like tzedakah is 10%, you know, of your income, ma'asek sofim, so kirvei chol would be 10% of your time, however you figure it out. But the point of the matter is you're not exempt from the idea. And then at the end of the day, you can love the person. That's what the pasuk says in Mishlei, hocheach l'chocham v'yeh avecha. The impact you can have on another person, is truly tremendous if you spend the time. And many people say, well, I don't have the time. Well, again, this is an important Jewish value as well. So I entitled the shiur, Kir Rechokim, Whose Responsibility? Ours. All of us have that responsibility in our own way. Again, you have to figure out what works for you, what the best is. But many of us know, we have relatives or friends or co-workers and so on, that sometimes you never know. You can just, I know somebody who used to, probably still does, he works in an office building. And on Purim, he goes in Purim morning, he brings shalach manas. If you found out there are 25 other Jews that are not religious, but he brings them shalach manas. You never know what's going to touch somebody. You never know. One little act, one little gesture sometimes can make a tremendous difference. And I'll just conclude. The Gemara says in Maseches Tamid, Da'abchav chesem alav, Amar b'shul barachmanim, Amar b'yonason, Kol amochiach es chaver l'shem shamayim, Zoche l'chelko shalach kodesh baruch hu. Somebody who gives tochacha l'shem shamayim the proper way, so you become part of the chelek, so to speak, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, you're with HaKadosh Baruch Hu based on a pasuk, right? You're in the mechitza, so to speak, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do. And I said it started with Avraham Avinu, Avraham and Sarah, Avraham Megayres HaAnoshim, Sarah Megayres HaAnoshim. This is our responsibility, and although it may take some time, it may take us away from other activities, to the extent that we can. Every person has to know himself and who you can influence and who you can you can touch. But we're supposed to make that effort, because we never know what little thing might somehow inspire somebody else and win that person over to following the Torah the way we want to. Have a wonderful day. Oh, questions? I'm sorry. Yeah. Right, so that's a further question. That's an important question. There was the only possibility, right? Now, that's a further question. Do we look to convert people who are... That's a different discussion. But we don't usually. Right, that's a different... So here we're talking about Jews. Yes, important point. Yeah.
You mentioned what exactly
relates to Abraham and probably. Well, Malvin, thanking God, we don't know. There's no Torah to speak of, huh? Recognition of God, for example, the Midrashim say that they would eat Avraham Avinu and thank him. What are you thanking me? What about thanking who produced? He got them an awareness. That's what keeps saying over and over again, Vayikra B'Shem Hashem, that phrase appears a number of times. When he said it means to call out the name of Hashem, it means he got people to recognize. You can't speak about Torah in the same sense, and mitzvahs the way we do today. But whatever it was at that time, some recognition. Say it again. Well, comes a point. No, so it means whoever I can possibly influence, whoever I have a relationship. Right. Yes, yes, yes. Right, but you know, again, right, you're only responsible for those that you could have won over and just ignored it. Right? I'm not responsible. I'm not in Cleveland right now. No one in Cleveland cares. Right. All you have to do is try. If you're only responsible, you don't try. If you try and you're not successful, it's a different story. You have to try. No. If you've tried, that's what the Rambam says. History, you try. They didn't listen, then it's not your.
Okay.